That was a pun.
They're all puns.
All of them.
Everything. All jokes are puns all if jokes are interpreted puns. The wrong way.
Oh, you meant like, oh, like the road. The chicken's not a road scholar. He was cross that got it.
Oh, yeah. So, we're out for a walk. It is Sunday, what is it, the 28th?
The 29th.
29th?
It's the first day of Advent. Happy New Year, everyone.
It's the first day of Advent.
Yeah. Sorry.
So, tell me how an Advent calendar works, specifically when it's made of wine bottles.
Oh, like that Advent calendar. That's like different than Advent.
Okay.
So, an Advent calendar starts on December 1st.
Okay.
And this is a Protestant thing, I gotta say, the Advent calendar. Because it starts on December 1st, it's not connected to the liturgical year.
Okay.
And it's a countdown of the 24 days before in December up to Christmas. So the kids have been waiting for Christmas all year, and it's December. Is it Christmas yet? No. Look at the Advent calendar. This is the first where you get one piece of chocolate. Yay!
Alright. So.
Or alternatively, as adults, you've been like, Isn't the year over yet? It's December 1st. You've got one bottle of wine tonight. Here you go. You can make it till tomorrow. And then, oh, it's only the second. It's not over yet.
Okay.
It's not over. It's the second. Have your next bottle of wine. And so, that's the Advent calendar situation.
So, yeah, we bought a wine Advent calendar at Costco.
Yeah, boy!
And it's been in the closet. I'm trying to keep the kids away from it.
Not that our kids are heavy drinkers, but...
Well, no, they just
like
want to tear
the bowl.
It apart
like
and
the bowl.
Pull it apart. And, yeah. So, it's waiting for us. There are 24 half bottles of wine.
Yeah.
Now, a half bottle is only two glasses.
Yeah. No, that's not... It's actually not
what
that much
it?
Wine.
It's, it's 200-some mls, I think.
Yeah.
So,
Mm-hmm.
But I am looking forward to tasting each one of them and actually starting a regimen of drinking.
I don't know if our drinking muscles are strong enough, actually.
Yeah, well, we really don't drink very often or very much.
Yes.
But I think it's not that I want to develop alcoholism, but
sort of as a practice.
It's also, I know that it helps my stress level. It helps my bones and muscles.
It is not an accident that humans
tension,
keep alcohol around.
Yeah,
it's not an accident.
Right. To have it brings my heart rate down. It brings my nerves. You know, I feel a little less persecuted.
Why are you trying to? No one's trying to kill you, man. Why are you sure?
Well. But the other thing it does is if I have some wine after dinner and then the kids have a huge fight or decide to stage a sit down or
a strike,
argue about their chores, my inhibitions are down. I'm more likely
to snap
at them, yell at them.
Yeah, so it's a double-edged sword, really.
It is.
Yeah, not in a good way.
But, you know, a half of a half bottle probably isn't gonna.
I think I'll take you over.
Result
the edge.
In anyone
the ER
going
trips.
To the ER because Dad lost it.
Dad lost his mind that night. It was really very tragic.
And so it's what time is it? Something.
I don't know. It's like it's almost 4 o'clock. I did not mean to.
We were trying to get out at 3 because it's.
Get the
it's
peak
pretty
of the
dark by 5.
It's 3:47.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
okay.
No. So it's not the
so
not quite the walk we hoped.
I was already, and Grace was struggling to get herself free of a few things, including our almost 2-year-old.
Our almost 2-year-old nursling.
He, I don't know. What do you want to say about him? He's quite a challenge.
You know, he's actually he is not more challenging than either Joshua or Benjamin were, who were both very. Challenging.
But like,
oh my Jesus, they were challenging. But I will say this. There is this thing, it's like a 2-year-old regression, as they make it ready to like make this large developmental leap, they regress. Yeah. It's actually a norm. Every one of our children have done it.
Yeah.
It's these three boys, Josh, Benjamin, and Malachi, who are a little high-strung in a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's been very pronounced for both of them.
So
for all three of them, it's been very this very pronounced phase where they are suddenly into everything, but need to be cuddled all the time and set off by everything, and like it's all too much and not enough, and all at the same time.
Yeah. But no, he's like, this morning was a good example. So like he woke up and he was all chipper and cheerful and wanted to play games with booping our noses and like
giggling
and all that, and we're like, oh, we don't want to get up yet, but you know,
but giggle
but it was that was very nice. But the same baby, if you don't allow him to do exactly what he wants or get exactly what he wants
when he wants,
he will turn on you just like and you were trying to get him down for a nap, and he was dozing off, and you very, gently put him down to sleep, and he immediately started attacking you, like screaming and attacking you.
Like a little whirling, like the Tasmanian devil in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, wah! Like, dude, you were asleep. What happened?
I was, not too long ago, I was trying to take a nap in the bed, and he'd, like, came climbing up in the bed and like
snuggle
was doing this was Tasmanian devil routine and fell backwards on my landed so that the back of his skull hit the side of my head right at my temple so hard that I heard and felt something crack in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell?
Just attacked by my infant? What?
I mean, it was an accident, but still, I'm like,
and he certainly wasn't malicious.
It was sore for, I had immediate, like, migraine symptoms.
It was sore for a good 48 hours.
It finally, like, I'm, like, hoping because, you know, I'm reading up on these bones because this is a point at the skull where, like, five bones come together and it's
very fragile. Spot.
And there's a big cluster of, like, veins, you know, under the skull. And if you hit that hard, you can rupture that and then get a huge hematoma.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's really hard to play Google Doctor, you know.
Yeah.
You can really terrify yourself.
But I'm like, okay, what do I need to watch for? Well, I think he actually gave me a slight concussion. You know.
Yeah. No. Parenting is hard. It's not for the faint of heart.
It's not.
It's really not.
So, let's go back.
Simpler times.
Let's go back and talk about our successes and how we, what we did and didn't do, and work through what we cooked and all that.
Oh, for Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving, 'cause
Oh yeah. I feel like the whole day on balance was a success.
But let's go back to like the pregame.
Oh, the pregame?
Because that included Monday night, our last shopping outing.
Oh, or Friday night.
Friday night.
So like a little over a week ago, Friday night, we did our last shopping outing. And I had...
It's not quite true. We went on Saturday, too.
Right. Well, we couldn't find things on Friday, so we cleaned up what we couldn't get.
So we planned...
So...
We really planned this time because we considered it to be a safety issue for definitely... I mean, normally going shopping like close to Thanksgiving would just be a frustration and annoyance issue.
Right.
But this time we thought this is a real safety issue.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So we did our best to get everything in the house we possibly wanted to cook with.
Ideally before Saturday afternoon.
Right.
At Costco.
Right.
Right. So we weren't in that Petri dish.
So I did a Friday night run to Costco. Yeah. Friday night, like the hour before they close.
Super quiet.
Always seems to be pretty quiet.
At our Costco. Some places are crazy.
It's probably, sure.
But our Costco is really quiet that time.
So it's like between 7:30 and 8:30.
Yeah.
If you can get in, find everything, get out quick, it's really, it's easy.
And the week before, I'd spent doing inventory, interviewing folks about what they wanted to eat, what they wanted to have. What do you need to have for it to be Thanksgiving for you?
Right.
And that came down to a number of specific dishes and so on.
We were pretty convinced that because we weren't having anyone from outside the household in, we didn't want to do a turkey.
We're not doing a turkey. And we weren't, I screwed around so long, I ran out of time to order the prime rib that we've been getting the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So that was off the table.
So, yeah. So also...
And the prime rib would have been too much.
I've been giving money every week to some friends in need. And so we really didn't have enough extra money to, like, order a $100 plus turkey well in advance.
Right, right. Those, yeah, because the good turkeys, the turkeys you want to eat, those are $150 for our family.
For our, large. That's the size and the quality.
Yeah, that's $150, so.
So we didn't do any of that.
We didn't do any of that.
But what did we get?
So we got some tofurkeys.
We did.
Yeah, and so I did this week-long planning session. So I got up early on Friday, well, early for me, and got almost all of it curbside pickup, and a couple of places that were very sparsely populated, I went in. And they're usually sparsely populated. I went into those places. Hey, all right. And that was, I felt very successful. I was back home by noon, and really, primarily without a hitch.
Yeah.
I even got some extra tools to replace them that had been broken and damaged, or that I didn't even own.
And then the thing that we made, I say we, but you did almost all of this, okay? Just to give you credit. I did very little, mm-hmm. except some shopping and a little bit of prep work. But
yeah.
Mostly I was just like watching in horror as the kids destroyed our home while you were trying to cook.
Yeah.
But
these things happen.
The replacement for the big turkey day, like, meat dish.
Was fried chicken, fried from scratch.
Fried
and buttermilk dipped, you know.
Buttermilk dipped and deep fried in peanut oil.
Right. Gluten-free, better, though.
This is something we almost never do. Because it's a real safety challenge to keep all the kids out of the kitchen for deep frying.
Right. And deep frying is very dangerous.
It's very dangerous. We really have to keep absolutely vigilant about the kids. Someone has to be in front of the stove for hours. Right?
Babysitting the stuff.
Right. And it's also, you know, it's a technical challenge, right?
Yes.
And then we have this large quantity of oil to contend with.
Yeah, and I true confessions, I still have to funnel that oil back into the jar. I gotta strain it and deal with it. So, yeah. That's a chore I'm not a big fan of. But, you know, I'm planning to do cookery tonight anyhow, so I'll get in there and handle that tonight.
Yeah. All right, we're waiting because there's
some
heavy traffic up ahead.
Yep. Well, for our road, heavy traffic.
Yeah. Well, two cars stopped.
Two cars, like, what, two people? Three people? Plus us?
Somebody's bringing in their trash bins.
Taking them out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're on a different pickup day, probably.
Yep. Well, that's an idea. You just take them in the car. Huh. Well, you just have the teenagers drag them out.
They have a pave.
Our kids bitch the whole way.
Maybe
it's longer. I don't know.
Anyway.
We have long driveways around here.
I guess it's pretty long.
Yeah.
But it's certainly smoother than our driveway.
Yes, it is. Oh, it's long. There's like three houses down there. Three, four houses.
Okay. We're in a kind of a... exurban area, I guess.
I guess you could call it that. It's not fully rural. I would not describe it as rural here. But about 2 miles south of here is rural.
Rural.
Like real rural. Rural. Rural.
Yeah. Real rural.
Yeah.
But this is...
This is, you know, I could walk to the highway, you know.
There are what used to be farmhouses with some infill modern homes.
Houses. Okay. This is a beautiful old house here. Just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Great lines, great bones.
And it doesn't have a complicated roof.
Nope.
Like,
unlike its neighbors.
Nubs and...
nubs and spikes and Lord knows what else.
Cupolas and fake everything.
Yeah, I know.
So,
anyway. So, you know, I fried a whole mess of chicken like, I think I fried 6 to 8 pounds of chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was delicious. I was really impressed with the way it came out. And actually, it's a technical challenge in, like, you have to set everything up and kind of stay on top of it.
Yeah.
But, like, once you get the rhythm of it, it's really straightforward. It's very straightforward. That's why this is a traditional cooking method.
Right.
Like, once you, like, follow sort of some very basic rules,
yeah,
it's very easy.
When you time everything correctly, it comes out great.
Right? So. Keep the right temperature to keep the, you know, so you gotta manage the heat, you gotta manage the time, and then it's just delicious and good.
Right. So tell, what did you, day one was desserts?
So my first cooking day was Tuesday, and I did desserts. And I actually only did a small number of desserts. The one that I'd never tried before that was a... Now, this was a big technical challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Was the pecan pie cheesecake.
Yeah, cheesecake with pecan pie topping on top of it.
Yes. And I know you wanted, like, cheesecake. I made a vegan cheesecake because the dairy count of this meal was really starting to add up.
Right. And some of us, I just don't do well.
Just don't
with
do
dairy,
well. It's really a mess. And so the dairy count was adding up. So I settled early on doing a vegan cheesecake, a vegan baked cheesecake.
Yeah.
And I was very pleased with the outcome of the recipe. It had a great flavor.
It was good. Actually, it had a nice sort of tart flavor in the cheesecake part itself.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad. I was making jokes about vegan cheesecake, but it was not bad.
It was not bad.
And the topping was delicious.
Delicious, so blanc.
Yeah.
So, but I basically had to make these three separate recipes from scratch.
And
took all
them.
Afternoon and combined them.
Yeah.
So we did the crust, and then we made cheesecake filling, baked that, made it, and then I had to make a pecan pie, but not fill it. And there was so much filling, and there's a sort of sweet spot where the cheesecake has set enough to support the filling.
Without all falling in.
Without falling in.
Right.
But you don't want it to completely set because you want them to like join, like to bake together.
Bond together.
To bond.
Yeah.
So it can't be set all the way and it can't be unset.
Yeah.
So.
Technically challenging dish.
Yes. So I found the right spot. And I wasn't using anyone's specific recipe.
Yeah.
There was a good, like, true cheesecake recipe for this. I didn't want to use that one because I wanted a different cheesecake.
Right.
And there's a good topping, but I didn't want to use that one. I wanted actual pecan pie filling. And blah, blah, blah. So so I was kind of adjusting on the fly for some of these things. But basically, after I'd made the pecan pie filling, I was going to put it all on, and then I was worried it was going to run over and damage the crust. Burn and damage the crust so it all falls apart.
Yeah.
When you finally unmold the thing.
Right.
So I put on like 1/3.
Okay.
And then basically I had a whole pie left over.
A pecan pie.
So I just threw it into a pie filling and then baked it.
Yeah, so we had a pecan pie too.
So it was a bonus pie. Then I also made a cranberry apple pie. Apple pie. Now correct me, I thought that was your favorite pie. Is there a different pie that you like? Or do you just like pie?
I like all kinds of pies.
I don't know much, yeah. But I thought you had a fondness for the cranberry apple pie.
Yes, anyway. I do.
So I made...
We ate so many desserts, you know, it was like, kind of like... anyway.
Yeah, we don't usually have dessert every single night for a week.
Right.
So I made the cran apple pie, which is just cranberry sauce.
Basically,
Like homemade cranberry sauce, apples, and oranges in a pie crust.
Yeah.
And you bake it till it sets, and it has a nice big slice of orange in the middle.
Yeah.
And so it's a lovely presentation, just a delicious pie.
Yeah.
No,
that was good. I had some of that.
Sort of a long-standing favorite.
Because it's a little, the tartness, you don't make it overly sweet.
No,
the
I don't.
The tartness helps like...
It's digestive, if you will.
Right. Well, it's a nice contrast with the other things that are...
Really
often
sweet.
Very sweet.
And very rich.
Yeah. You also made a squash pie.
Oh, yes. I made... was it squash? No, that was a sweet potato. That was
a sweet potato
casserole pie.
Right.
So
we
it was
didn't,
like...
Yeah, we didn't make a full-blown
sweet potato casserole,
so...
I made a sweet potato casserole filling and put it in a pie crust and baked it.
Yeah.
That was yummy. The kids were a little weirded out by the pineapple. I thought it was, you know, homey and good.
Yeah, so it was just... You didn't sweeten the sweet potatoes.
No. I didn't sweeten the sweet potatoes. And I just had a pineapple, egg, and cream. Right? And then put it in a pie crust.
And baked marshmallows.
I baked it till it was set, and then I put marshmallows on to brown.
And browned them. Mm-hmm. It was really good.
I thought it was lovely.
And it was not overly sweet. So.
No, it was not.
But then you made another tray of that, and the kids, like, picked all the marshmallows off.
One particular child scraped every marshmallow off the top.
One child.
And
the child who doesn't ever pass the marshmallow test.
Nope, never does. Never. Has never passed the marshmallow test once.
Yeah.
So yeah, that happened. I also made a, you know what, I'm a little ticked. I didn't even get to taste the pear cranberry strudel.
Oh, I didn't either.
I made this huge pear cranberry strudel.
I didn't either.
They ate it all. Every bite of it.
Yeah, okay. So the pear cranberry, I didn't get any of that at all.
No, I think it was good.
I'm sure it was good.
Well, just judging from the response.
It vanished.
I guess it was good.
Right.
Okay,
so that was dessert day.
That was dessert day.
Anything else you made?
I think that's it, because I had the two pies.
Cranberry sauce.
Oh, I made a cranberry sauce. But I made the cranberry relish.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the orange and sugar and cranberries. And that was, you know, that was wiped out, I think, before dinner. As dinner started, we finished it off.
Well, you put it on the table before we served everything, and they just sort of went at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've noticed in years past, it gets lost on the dinner table or on the buffet table.
Okay.
And people forget to eat it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, what's this fermenting in the back of the fridge? So I just put it out, and people just went for it and ate it all.
Okay, so then the next day, Wednesday, was side day.
Sides.
Yeah.
And that was kind of epic. So we started with making a mushroom leek soup, like a cream of leek soup.
Yeah, leeks from the... We're still harvesting leeks.
From our garden.
From our kitchen garden.
Yeah. Now, the kitchen garden has been a screaming success. Just marvelous.
Yeah.
And
not everything in it has been a success.
Oh, no,
but
the garden
we grew
itself.
Such a variety of things that some of them... I'm amazed that we're... I mean, you told me this would happen, but I'm amazed that we're still harvesting leeks, and it's been well below freezing numerous times.
Oh, leeks, and some of the greens, too.
Yeah.
Still kicking it strong. And we'll probably do so... The leeks, you notice how deep their root system is and how deep you have to dig to get them out.
Right.
They'll be fine even if they freeze on top.
Right.
Many other things, though.
They'll look a little worse for wear, but...
But yeah, but they'll make it.
So we may still... We may leave some to harvest before Christmas.
I would, personally.
Yeah.
But then there's some other things that will not make it once the ground freezes itself.
Yeah. You know?
So we have a bit of time yet, probably till the end of December, for a number of things out of the garden.
Yeah.
But so Wednesday started with making a pot of cream of mushroom soup, because I wanted a cream soup to put into the blanched green beans to make green bean casserole.
Yeah.
And so I just sauteed some blanched green beans with bacon.
Yep.
And then put them in a pan, covered them with cream soup, and then baked it, and set it aside for the onion treatment the next day.
Well, we tasted a little bit.
Oh, we did. We actually had a couple of bowls of the soup, and it was very good.
It was.
And then the sort of like base for the cream soup, which was a puree of mushrooms, leeks, and garlic.
Yes.
I used to saute in the sausage for sausage and clam stuffing. So it's kind of what full New England.
Yeah.
Like, you know, seafood in your stuffing is a New England thing. I don't know who else does that, but we do.
I went out, well, we haven't typically, but we did this.
No, I was feeling nostalgic this year.
Right. So I went out and I harvested what herbs I could without killing the plants, because some of the things have still been growing quite a bit. So I harvested like at least a couple cups of sage leaves.
Right. I think we had all told about 4 cups of herbs.
Yeah, a bunch of parsley. And a little rosemary, a little oregano.
But mostly sage and parsley.
Yeah, mostly sage and parsley. And then we just threw whole sprigs and leaves removed from their stems into the stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
And next year, if we do the same thing again, I want to... Used twice as much.
It was marvelous. It was really good flavor. That's no downsides to the stuffing, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Because then we added the croutons, a bit of
broth,
egg, and milk.
Beef broth.
Beef broth, stirred it all up, baked it, and this was gorgeous. We didn't get it, we weren't able to store it well, so we didn't get to eat it all.
Right.
But it was so gorgeous. We had these hollowed out pumpkins, we stuffed them with a stuffing, and they were beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, the stuffing was just...
I mean, that was almost kind of a main dish thing.
It really was.
At least it was presented like a main dish.
And you know what? We could have gone without...
The chicken.
We could have gone without the chicken and had that as the main dish.
Yeah.
It was that sort of spectacular and lovely.
We've done that before. We've actually had...
Vegetarian
Thanksgiving. So we ate the tofurkies... We ate the tofurkies before Thanksgiving.
In the lead up, yeah.
Right.
This is like, one thing I learned from my parents. It's actually a big deal for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You have to plan food to eat while you're cooking.
While you're cooking.
Because you can't also, you know.
So it makes separate meals.
So it has to be integrated into your cooking.
Right.
Some kind of a plan for stuff for people to eat. Because the kids are going to be full of people looking for food. They will smell it and come looking.
Right.
So.
So this was like warm up Thanksgiving.
Right. We had tofurkies. Oh, and I made my parents' traditional pre-Thanksgiving.
This is going to be really loud, sorry.
Sorry about that, guys, but here we are. This is our lives.
There's a guy driving a little...
Bobcat. So the thing my parents did as veteran gardeners... The thing I posted to my mom's group was that my dad basically had a victory garden since World War II until about 6 days before he died.
Right.
Usually every November, they were pulling in the last of their garden in November. They would do like the row covers and the like season extenders and everything.
Yeah.
So they'd be pulling in the last of the green tomatoes, some tomatoes they'd been coaxing along to ripen with some apples, stuff like that. The first and second week in November.
We didn't quite make it
there
with tomatoes.
No. But what that meant was every, like the Monday before Thanksgiving, they would take all that garden produce, all that summer produce, and make a huge ratatouille.
Yeah.
So the last of all the basil that they'd, like, you know, curled away next to the house or brought into the kitchen.
So it didn't freeze.
The last of the tomatoes, last of the squash and the eggplant, and the peppers, all that stuff trimmed, thrown into a huge, like our electric cooker.
Yeah.
Like they'd make that full of ratatouille on Monday.
Wow.
And then if we were hungry, we were supposed to go eat ratatouille bread.
And then leave your parents alone.
Leave them alone and go eat the ratatouille.
Right.
So
we had that, but we didn't have enough to go for days.
But I did make a big ratatouille, and we more or less served it two nights in a row.
Yeah.
And because it's a good idea, you know?
It was very nice.
Yeah. Filling, nice meal. It doesn't feel... But now, mind you... My parents always did that because, like, we're not just going to throw hot dogs at the kids or something, right?
Right.
Although our kids loved it when I threw hot dogs at them.
Right, finally we're like, oh, we just eat some hot dogs.
Just eat some hot dogs. I'm like, yes! Yes!
What were the other sides?
So there was the stuffing, the green bean casserole. Oh, creamed collards that were actually kale.
Yeah, we couldn't
because
get collards anywhere.
There were no collards to be found.
Really a shame.
Really a shame. But, you know, kale's pretty good.
Yeah.
And actually, I had the last of it yesterday. And
it was good, yeah.
It was good. It was really good. So creamed collard, there was the sweet potato casserole that had the top
eaten off of it.
Right. Green bean casserole. Mashed potatoes and gravy.
Of course.
There's no, and I think the number is 12 pounds of mashed potatoes.
12 pounds of mashed potatoes.
Two quarts of gravy. And that was enough. That was enough. So
the
we did
gravy had more leeks and stuff.
Yeah. That was the last of that sort of...
Soup, right.
Like, not soup-ish. Like, I made a base that went into all these things.
Right.
So the base became soup, became stuffing, became gravy.
That was great. Let's do that again.
We should do that again, yeah. So basically, mushrooms, garlic, and leeks.
Yeah.
Just marvelous. Really sort of, I want to say meaty flavor, just...
Yeah. Oh,
really
very
hearty.
Savory, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then... Oh, what else was there? I think there were five. Wasn't there five side dishes?
There was the green bean casserole mentioned.
Two green, two... Oh, mac and cheese. I didn't make it.
Oh, right.
We bought a mac and cheese and stuck it in the oven.
From GFS.
From GFS. And the mac and cheese was actually really mediocre on Thanksgiving.
It's too bad.
It was very mediocre.
We've gotten better ones from them previously.
Yeah, it was kind of... Well, actually, you know, the ones that are really good that we get are from Costco.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, they're half the size.
They're better, yeah.
Yeah, but they taste better. But now, mind you...
This was mainly for a few of the picky eaters who just want starch.
You just want starch and carbs, you know. And, well, you know, it's a comfort food. This is a comfort time of year.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
But that mac and cheese was really good, like, 2 or 3 days later.
Oh, yeah. After it sat great. And, like, I don't know what happened. The cheese aged some more or something.
I don't know. Maybe you got finally got browned enough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it was better.
It was better. Yeah. After it sat for a bit.
Yeah, that had Gruyere on it, so.
It did. So yeah, so mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, sweet potato casserole, green bean casserole, and creamed collards with 5 sides, 3 desserts, plus a few extras for the other days. And then the main dish of fried chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, we also made some appetizers.
The appetizers.
So we made a vegan.
These are mostly made on the day.
But yeah, yeah. And just kind of, sort of half made on the side day and then finished on the day.
Yeah.
So bacon wrapped Brussels sprouts.
You prepped them the side day.
Right, the side day. And they are extremely easy. You take a bacon, you take a Brussels sprout and you wrap it in bacon. And then you bake it.
Yeah.
And like, you don't even broil, like, you bake it for like 350 until it's done.
Okay.
And then there
those
was.
Those were very tasty. They're like candy.
Yes. And Josh was like, that changed my life, Mom. And the other appetizer was a vegan port wine cheese ball.
Yeah.
You weren't sold on it. I kind of loved it.
It was okay.
My complaint is that it was too salty.
Okay.
I would like it to be less salty.
But it other than that, it was made of cashews.
Primarily cashews, and then miso paste, some.
Miso, extremely salty. So.
Yeah, yeah, and then some. What is it? Oh, sun-dried tomatoes, and nutritional yeast. I liked it.
It was okay. I would have rather had. Traditional cheese.
Oh, yeah.
But,
well, you know,
that's okay.
If you're served something that says cheese and you're expecting cheese, there's no vegan thing that will be cheese. Right?
No.
So, and that,
although,
I think,
like I said, the vegan cheesecake, actually, I thought it was pretty good. So.
Yeah. So the.
Yeah,
I
didn't really miss the.
Cheese per se.
In that dish, at least. Right.
So, but I was feeling very nostalgic for a port wine cheese ball.
Yeah.
That's how I knew I was fancy when I was little.
Right. My mom used to. I don't know, did she make them or did she buy them? I think
she
may have bought them.
A little both, I'd say. And then
I'm trying to remember what my mom did. We did have port wine cheese balls.
Right. And then we had deviled eggs, another classic. Yeah,
she got the cheese pre-made in like a tub and like rolled it up and did that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
My mom liked to roll it, pecans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was delicious. So we had the cheese ball, we had the deviled eggs and
bacon
wrapped
Brussels.
So, all around very good. And then they ate appetizers while I was frying chicken for 2 days, 3 days.
Right.
And so while I was frying, they ate the appetizers, then we put the meal out. And we had there's a cadre of folks that would normally join us for Thanksgiving. And since we weren't doing that this year, I packed up a few
bags. Items for a couple folks.
Right.
Yeah, and ran some food out to some friends who couldn't be at our table.
Yeah, so
we set up the table nice. We
did
put on a tablecloth. We got the fiesta wear up, and so had a sort of color colliding assortment of fiesta wear, which is
always a pleasure.
Always festive.
Festive fiesta wear.
And we had a bottle of wine.
Just very good.
We would have had three wines
of
different types if we had more people there.
Right, and had a first course, second course.
Because I've fallen into this philosophy of not trying to dictate whether people should have red or white or rosé or whatever on Thanksgiving. We just serve like three wines.
Three wines. Three good wines. That's enough.
Yeah. Well, actually, we did three not dessert wines and then a dessert wine last year.
Yeah, that was really good.
That was really good.
Yeah,
that
was
but the wine we... If I have to drink one wine with Thanksgiving food, I will choose a Beaujolais.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, you know, it's like really red with, but it's not that.
It's not that heady.
It's not that heavy. It's not that like leathery, you know, or or it's not oaky.
Yeah,
it's not, because it's quite a fresh flavor.
Yeah,
so
turn it around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh oh. We're switching sides.
Yeah, we were on the wrong side. Sorry.
Sorry for disorient everyone.
Oops. It was my idea. I did it. It was me.
But yeah, like, this is just a medium like a generic, I mean, it wasn't really generic, but I forget the type,
it
was a Beaujolais, 2018 Beaujolais.
It was good.
Very good with the Thanksgiving food, I think.
Yeah,
especially
no, I enjoyed it.
The variety of stuff that involves earthier flavors like mushrooms and garlic and whatnot. That I think the only thing I regret was we didn't have a chilled bottle of Michigan white.
Oh, Michigan, yeah.
Like
the Riesling?
Yeah.
That would have been a nice finish.
Semi-dry Riesling have with the desserts.
Yeah, that was a great finish.
That's always a...
Always a winner.
A winner.
Yeah. But no, it was a good meal, and we took a break and had our desserts, and it was a good day.
Only one person threw up.
Yes.
After dinner, the kids, like, I kept telling them, Josh, sit upright.
Just sit upright,
pace yourself. Pace yourself.
Stay upright. No, don't.
No wrestling.
No wrestling.
No fist fights. No wrestling. Oh, don't jump on his belly. Oh, he's running to the bathroom to throw up. Oh.
Okay.
Well, you know, no one has to listen to me. It's not like I know anything.
No, in fact, we know nothing, Paul. That's the one thing I've concluded. The one thing I know is I know nothing.
Like Socrates.
But yes, that's really, I've explored, I've searched, I've concluded one thing only.
Well, there's...
I know nothing.
You just hope that, oh, maybe next year he'll, like, remember that he shouldn't do Greco-Roman wrestling immediately
after
eating, you know.
Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, a huge, rich meal.
Right.
Where you've been eating for the last 4 hours.
Pace yourself. Like, take a little break.
Take a break.
You know?
Just relax. Watch the movie.
Watch the movie. So we put on...
I'm really festive.
We sort of lost track of
What our
holiday movie traditions are.
Because, you know, we've been watching movies all the time this year.
Right.
So we don't even know.
Because,
like, usually we're, like, hungry for it. Like, oh, it's time
right.
for...
I mean, you know. Because we traditionally watched Lord of the Rings trilogy.
For New Year's.
For New Year's or for Christmas?
For New Year's. And we were trying to do The Hobbit for Christmas, but it sucks really hard.
Yeah.
So
we tried it for a while to add, like, The Hobbit trilogy for Christmas.
Yeah,
but
not so much.
I had the extended editions, and they're...
Bad.
They're awful.
They're just bad. You know,
so
why would The Hobbit be an R-rated film?
Well,
that's the
extended edition of the third Hobbit movie
be an R-rated film
has so many gory decapitations and blood spray that it's rated R. I like wow.
Okay,
beloved 120-page children's book,
9 hours long, rated R.
Yeah, with love triangle and.
Just all this bizarre.
All these characters brought back in who don't even belong in the story.
Right. Yeah. No, it's awful. So we deep sixed that. Oh, it's almost nice.
We're looking at a house going up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I always feel hope for people, you know?
They have a metal roof.
They have metal and a porch. Nice.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
you know, maybe we'll put the regular length trilogy on.
Maybe we'll try that. But we do Nightmare Before Christmas is Halloween.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings is New Year's. And then we had something for Thanksgiving and I forget what it was now. I'm really disoriented this year, you know?
Yeah. Well, everything's weird.
I always want to watch Die Hard for Christmas and you never want to show the kids. That's really
we don't even own a copy, so.
See, that's what's wrong with our lives. We don't even have a copy of Die Hard.
Okay, I'll order a copy of Die Hard for Christmas.
I think this is the year.
But we're not watching the Lethal Weapon series.
Oh, come on!
Our kids are traumatized enough. Although, you know what? So, I've been wanting to watch with people, and you did watch a couple of them with me.
Yeah.
The Zatoichi films.
Yeah, those
The
are
Blind
great.
Swordsman.
Well, the first one...
Especially...
Was a transcendent film.
The first one is so good. It's really a shame to me that it's so little known and almost forgotten. It's black and white, but, I mean, it is every bit as good as some of Kurosawa's famed...
Oh, right.
You know,
famed
dramas
work.
Set in the same period. It's just... It's a terrific film. The acting is amazing.
Yeah.
The cinematography.
The sets, the staging,
yeah.
All very good.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And it's just a really, it's a well-crafted story.
Really is. They're not all that good.
No.
There are still...
Some of them are pretty cheesy.
There are still some that are very good.
Yes.
There, like I watched one, Zatoichi and the Doomed Man is a really good story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get better and worse. Oh, the Zatoichi Goes to the Fire Festival is like the most amazing, has the most amazing graphical fight scenes I've pretty much ever seen. Anyway, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've been watching these martial arts films, too.
And that's been fun.
Right, but, you know, they're not martial arts film like the way that...
what's the one?
Jackie Chan. Bruce Lee.
No. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
They're not like that.
No, not like that. I like that series. That stuff is
great.
Oh, that
stuff's transcendent, too.
Whew. Man, that's some good stuff.
But the Zatoichi films are... They're more like, you know, crime dramas, right, with vigilante... It's kind of like, and of course it inspired things like Kung Fu, the TV show.
Yes.
It's a little more like that, where Zatoichi comes into a town and, you know.
It's a little bit Mad Max.
A little tiny bit, right? Which also, that series also took.
Took a lot from Zatoichi.
From that genre, because.
Right.
There are others, many other series. I mean, there some people have kind of cataloged them, but like in the, from the 60s through the 80s, there are thousands of these, like Edo period, martial drama kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and they're not all great, you know.
Right, no. Yeah, there's
but this is one of the, I got this used Blu-ray set.
Right.
On eBay, it's a Criterion release. It has, of 25 films, it's on 9 Blu-ray discs, and it is my favorite box set. It's so gorgeous, the artwork.
It's a beautiful artifact as well as film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one of the best things I ever added to our movie collection.
Yeah. No, good find.
I still haven't, I mean, I haven't even come close to seeing all of them. I've probably watched 10 of them.
Well, there's what? There's 25.
25.
Yeah. So, you know, it'll take a little doing.
But it brings up, like, it's really hard just to concentrate on a film in our house, right?
Yeah, it really is. It's, you know, how'd you put it? Like, maybe I was saying that, you know, my life with one child, it was like, you know, a library compared to, or a monastery compared to life with 7 children doing their thing all day, every day.
Right. So you got to get used to, like, trying to follow the story and stay in the story while being interrupted at least once every 2 or 3 minutes.
Right.
You know, by someone screaming or someone getting into something or someone having a fight or someone wandering off or someone, you know, blah, blah, blah. On it goes. But it's really, it's a challenge. We set up the screen in our bedroom.
Yep, the big fragile screen.
The big screen in our bedroom. So we have a locked room where we can, Grace and I can watch movies now at night. The only problem being by the time we get in and it's reasonably quiet, we're falling asleep ourselves.
So, yeah. There's that.
But we've been watching Columbo.
Yeah, boy!
I
forgot how good it was. I loved that show.
I have a boxed set of all 10 seasons of Columbo on DVD, and the transfers aren't great, and they're not that great
but
resolution.
The stories hold up.
The stories are cool. They're mostly really good. They're not all fantastic, but they're
mostly
all
really good.
There are many of them that are still very good.
Right. Well, and this is what gets me, right? This is like 40 years later, okay?
Yeah,
this is decades later. I get to the high point, the climax,
right.
And I'm like, my heart's racing. And I'm like, oh my God.
She's really into it. Columbo's going to like step out and accuse the, like...
The murderer, right? Now, and the thing that's funny about Columbo, if you don't remember this...
Yes.
I already know who did it. I already know how. I know what's happening.
No, it's not really... A whodunit, it's a how did it.
It's a how did it, right.
Yeah. Columbo, the whole series started out, it was with the single movie, which became the first pilot.
Right.
Which was like Prescription Murder or something like that, with the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And that ran as a play.
Yes.
That developed the character.
Yes.
Right. And then they recruited Peter Falk for the first one. If you watch the first one, the character isn't...
He's not there yet.
He's not quite come into focus as a half-comic, you know...
Half-comic.
Like all his...
Incisive... He's like a proto monk, honestly.
Kind of. All his various tics and whatnot, and like the things he does to, like his habitual things he does to basically annoy
the murderer into confessing.
Until they either confess or
give it away.
They let enough slip that it's, you know.
He's the only one.
And every like casual conversation, you know, his trademark line was, I'm sorry to bother you, but I just have a... He pulls out his little notebook. I just have one more... A couple of questions. You said this little insignificant detail, but I just wanted to know if...
Did you really mean that?
Yeah, because... Because
that couldn't have happened before the
gunshots. That couldn't have happened because the solstice falls at 8, you know...
At 8:45.
Right.
That could never happen, I'm just saying.
Or whatever.
Right.
And then you just watch the... Their eyes dart nervously back and forth.
Right, their expression
goes stony, and their eyes are darting around, and they're struggling to.
And you've got to give it up for the actors who play the murderers,
so
right?
Good.
Because they do this thing with like their face
just
like
bursting out laughing.
Right.
Although that's one of the ways you knew that Columbo was getting close with the one last night, which had, from 1971 or 72, had Leslie Nielsen in it.
Yes.
But the female lead, the murderer, she started to get really pissed at him.
Right.
Right.
So I get really angry.
Of his habit of, but also, you know, it is like ACAB in the sense that...
Yeah, no, he's a total bastard.
He is a bastard. Like, He's kind of malicious.
You can't just walk in these people's houses. You can't just do this.
You can't just, like, go into their homes and cars without warrants
anything. Just, like, start snooping around and, like, crawling up,
right.
Like, shoving the guy's house, you know?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right. So he does a lot of stuff which a jury really should throw out.
Should just discard altogether.
And potentially discipline him for misconduct, you know?
Outrageous misconduct.
Right.
But, you know, it's a fun show.
Especially in the first one, he's pretty aggressive.
He's very aggressive. He just with that whole thing. That
right.
whole, like, you know.
Right. But, I mean, aggressive questioning and
yes.
whatnot. And,
yes.
And you're like, you're starting to root for the murderer because, like, dude, you need to shut up and get an attorney.
Call your... right, the whole time. It's ridiculous.
No, he becomes much more sympathetic in the later ones. And, you know, these are murderers, right?
Well, first of all, they're murderers. The audience knows they're murderers.
Right.
And they're all rich bastards.
So it really is a leftist portrayal in many
right,
ways.
Right, right. So that's why he gets to be a bastard, right?
Right.
In the viewer's eyes.
He's bringing down
the
powerful
wealthy,
who kill right. literally murdered with what they thought was impunity.
Right.
Right.
Who took human lives with impunity, he's bringing them low. And that's
right.
the reason the viewer can, like, just not be outraged.
Even if the people they killed needed killing.
They needed killing, though. Needed killing. Like, what was that one? The guy, basically broke this woman's neck because he was trying to blackmail her, and she was like, no, I'm just going to tell. Like, you
right.
can't blackmail me.
Right.
I'm just going to tell my husband I was having an affair.
Right.
And he's like, ah!
Yes.
He
no,
snaps.
Some of them are pretty... They do a lot of stuff with arty soft fades and music and there's a famous sequence in one we watched. We're still in season one, you know,
right.
with one we watched early on, where a bunch of the events of the of the murder, you see them reflected in the main character's sunglasses
right.
as his face is frozen. Right,
right, like he's stony faced. And then you see the events unfold.
Because it was essentially, like, all the action has to be what would essentially now be PG rated,
yes.
you know.
Yes, or even...
Even G,
even
honestly. Because there's nothing graphic.
No,
there's nothing very graphic.
Nothing bloody.
Right.
Right. Actually, the one where the woman kills her brother.
Yeah.
Last night, that
it was it was a little startling. It's more graphic than you usually get.
Right. Right.
Yeah. For a Columbo. But, mm-hmm. yeah, they're so much fun to watch. And I did see these occasionally as a kid. I didn't know enough about the world and these people and characters and the dialogue, what was happening in the dialogue and all that, to really unpack what I was looking at. I just knew that Columbo was funny, and I enjoyed watching him.
Right.
But I didn't, follow along all the characters were.
The characters were, what was going on. It is such a trip. Pretty much every episode, you see some famous person from the 70s.
Right.
Just about every episode.
Right. And Leslie Nielsen, who unfortunately has a fairly small role in this one.
Not very funny role.
Not very funny, not that great. And you realize, at some point they discovered that he just was better
at being
in
funny.
Comic roles, because his self-seriousness is so,
it's so comic.
Unconvincing.
He's comic when he's trying to be serious.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's not trying to be comic.
No, he's just there.
He just looks
like
that. His acting skills do not work that well for serious roles, but it's much funnier to see him in a setup that's comedic.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. He was 71 or 72. Yeah. That was a long time before the Naked Gun stories
Naked
and
Gun
whatnot.
And
but
and he did not look. He did not look one day younger than Naked Gun.
Not much. No.
No, he did not. His hair was a little
his
longer.
His face is a little.
That was about it.
A little fuller, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But his hair was still white.
Had white hair. It was longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No. My goodness. Although some of these, you see that these folks, and they're, 30 years younger than you last remember them.
It's just concerning.
It's whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not working through them on any kind of a schedule.
We're just having a good time.
Very slowly, whenever we get a little quiet time, we'll put on a Columbo. So we also watched.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the Mad Max films, which I've never seen.
So, Thunderdome is terrible. just if any of you are thinking about maybe pulling that out again, it was terrible. Oh my gosh! Just whew.
I never saw Thunderdome back in the day.
I did, and I didn't remember.
I thought that it would be better because it was a pretty big budget film with a big name,
big name lady, but no.
Big name guest star.
Yeah, no, not too much. Fury Road was far.
Well, let's talk about Thunderdome a little more first. So, sure. Thunderdome is almost like a film within a film.
Yeah.
Because there's this whole section in Farttown or whatever it's called, where they
Bartertown,
where they power everything by fermenting pig feces
to make methane. To create, to ultimately to burn to make electricity.
Right. So
it's their fuel for electricity.
Right. And there's the king of
pig fart is on Mars.
Is that a hula culture though?
I hope so. Tina Turner.
No, the crime boss that's running the place.
Not Tina Turner. That's Master Blaster.
Master Blaster.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Master Blaster is two people.
And they just run the refinery.
They run the refinery, but they also are kind of in charge.
Well, because they run the refinery.
Because they have control of the refinery.
Right. But Tina Turner has the control of the town.
Right.
And they have a bit of a truce.
Yeah.
But the Master Blaster is pushing those boundaries for
Right.
Tina Turner.
Master Blaster is this big guy in a mask.
Mask and helmet.
And armor and everything. He's 8 feet tall or something.
Some
ridiculous.
Huge. Yeah. Just
and then Blaster, or Mass, that's Blaster.
That's Blaster.
Master is a little person. Who's the sort of cackling dwarf genius.
Right.
And
Blaster carries Master together.
Around
Master
on his
Blaster.
Shoulders. Yeah.
Yeah. It's as silly as it sounds.
It's really silly. And then, of course, Max winds up in the Thunderdome having a fight to the death with...
Master. Or with Blaster.
Blaster.
While Master watches on.
And the Thunderdome is a giant... jungle
steel cage.
Gym.
Steel cage. It's a steel cage match.
But the part that I didn't expect, which makes it unexpectedly funny, is that they're on bungee cords, right? They're suspended from the ceiling of the dome by these big, like, not really bungee cords, but big
straps
and whatnot. Like, and so it's like an acrobatic act. They're flipping over
and trying to get the advantage. And actually, you're in danger if you lose your cords, because now they can, like, come at you from behind and
right,
head.
Right. So it's quite a very graphic fight scene. They have to pluck weapons from different places around the dome, including at one point a chainsaw.
Which won't run because there's no gas.
Which won't run because it has like a teaspoon of gasoline in it.
Because gas is hard to come by.
Yeah. Right, so it's quite comical to see them like doing this high wire acrobatics act, flipping around.
I think that's the thing you're hitting on. It's unintentionally comic. It's really funny, but it's not supposed to be.
Right, right.
So,
yeah. So it really drags. It's grotesque, and there are some beautiful scenes and all that, but it really drags. Then the film within a film is when Max discovers a whole, basically a Peter Pan-like Planet of Lost Children, right?
It's an oasis hidden in
the middle of the desert in like this big river basin thing where they are the descendants of a plane crash.
Plane crash.
And they have built up a whole... And this part is kind of fascinating.
This could be a good film.
A good film.
The other one could be an okay film. But this could be a
Together,
good film.
Together, they're just a long film.
They're just a long, nonsensical film.
Right.
But this is interesting. They form a cargo cult waiting for the return of the pilot to fly them back home.
Right. Yeah. And they've memorized they have a whole oral history that they recite.
Nightly and memorize and pass on.
Right.
So they'll remember and tell people what they're waiting
right.
for.
Right. And so that's all pretty cool. But then they have to go back to Fart Town and it's just like...
Yeah, it's just stupid.
And
they almost die. Some people do. It's god-awful.
Yeah. So it's a little long to get through. But you were saying about the fourth one, which I had never seen, but was much more highly regarded.
Oh, it's the fourth one. Fury Road is a great action film.
Fury Road is amazing.
Just straight up action.
It's
all day, the whole time.
The whole film basically comprises one very long chase sequence.
Right. Super long. That's the film.
Right, and it's really, it goes overnight, it goes round the clock pretty much, and Max is actually a minor character
in this,
and we don't even see his face until like 45 minutes into the film, because he's dragged into this...
He's sucked into the events around him.
Events, right, with a mask clamped onto his head. And he's being...
For no discernible reason, I think it's just a...
It's just for the reveal.
For the reveal, right, yeah.
Right, so we finally see him, and he probably has only 10 or 15 speaking lines in the whole film,
maybe 20, if that.
But he speaks very little.
Right.
And there actually is very little exposition through the whole thing.
No.
We have to, so you're, it's really...
You have to pay attention and
you have to pay attention, but you want to pay attention because kind of what's happening is so...
Because you're sucked deep into the action.
The action is so compelling
action.
That you kind of want to pay attention and pick up, like, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, there aren't any info dumps.
Nope.
The closest thing is, like, one brief conversation where someone's talking about the past, right? But it's very naturalistic.
Very natural.
It's so common in, like, fantasy, sci-fi, post-apocalyptic...
Here's the whiteboard.
At some point, someone powers on a slide projector and you watch a PowerPoint or what.
Let me explain the backstory of the
film. Yeah, right. And
Here you go.
And, you know, it's necessary, but, I mean, in most cases, unless it's worked smoothly into the action, like it is in Star Wars, where it's part of what the characters are experiencing.
Right.
It's like pulling teeth to watch these sequences, right?
Yeah, they're very tedious.
Yeah, but
so there's none of that. None of that.
And
you get it all.
Everything you need.
It all comes to you. You get it all.
While still having a sense left is like, oh, there's more to know. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so many films all the premises and everything are absolutely tissue thin and does not leave you with any sense that there's any reality to this world.
No. Right. Well, whereas Fury Road felt strangely close at hand.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And the other thing about the film is that almost all the stunt work and everything and explosions and cars and all that is entirely done with real vehicles, practical effects, real stunt people, mm-hmm. very little CGI. It's there, but
right,
it doesn't jump out at you like it does in a lot of films.
Right.
Except in only in one scene was I ever like, oh, that's CGI. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
like
no.
The fight scenes and whatnot
the dust
are... The
dust storms,
they're shot at an accelerated frame rate in very, very high resolution digital cameras. The accelerated frame rate makes everything like hyper real, kind of like the mm-hmm. Matrix bullet time stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And during the day, the palette is always this ochres and brilliant oranges and yellows. Yeah. And then the night scenes, which actually were shot in daylight, but
yeah.
Are everything is these like rich
blues and purples, browns.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a gorgeous
very
film.
Compelling.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, it's gory as hell.
No, it's very gory.
Absolutely,
yeah, absolutely
not
gory.
For kids.
Not for kids. Some adults may not
18,
appreciate it.
Yeah, some 18 plus. Yeah. Sensitive adults probably don't even want to watch.
Don't want to watch this film. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough in spots. And this is something, something I've got to say about the Mad Max franchise, all four movies.
Yeah.
They have this thing where they kill off children
yeah.
and vulnerable people and go ahead and, like, and not like handout or anything, they kill them on screen.
Right.
They're not going to joke about it. They're not going to pull punches on it.
Right.
And it's hard to watch. That's not common in most American cinema.
No, it's not. No.
And if you're going to kill someone, like an elderly person, or a child, or an infant,
right.
a pregnant woman, you do that off screen, you hint
right.
at it, you suggest
right.
it, you know, and then you have someone confirm it
no.
later in hushed tones.
In this
no.
one, just as like a trigger warning, there's like
yeah.
a pregnant woman who dies, and
under,
then they attempt
yeah.
to... Do a C-section and rescue the baby, and the baby is also dead
on screen.
On screen,
right? This is not, it's not sugar coated in any way.
Yeah.
So that's something you may want to be aware of, and that's actually all of Mad Max is like that.
Right.
I did not pick up on that as a 10 or 11 year old kid.
No.
But it was clearly there.
Yeah.
And
well, like I said, I never saw Thunderdome. I think I only ever saw the second one because
mm-hmm.
the first one is. The first one is just a weird-ass cult film. Very
yeah.
low-budget cult film. It's interesting, but it's like the seeds... It only was ever going to be ever a cult film.
Yeah.
Because it's just...
It's...
Too...
Like, it's not all there, you know?
Too freaky, too weird, and...
it's not all there.
It's not all there in the sets and character development
right,
and
right.
locations and stuff like that. But it's like a, if you took Clockwork Orange and made a very, very low-budget version... Like put together by high school students.
That's right. The first Mad Max.
Yeah.
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 No, it's a bit much. So the or not that much to be honest.
Yeah.
But they all have that theme where they're
right.
really
right.
They're going to be cruel in this way, and I think they're doing it on purpose.
Sure.
Right. For
well, it's
for
supposed to be post-apocalyptic dystopian.
Yes.
And they're serious about
and they're
that.
Going all the way with it. So
yeah.
So that's there. Be warned.
Right.
But you know, if you like an action film, and I do, I'm here for action films. Fury Road is it, man.
Yeah, it's really good.
Whew.
Enjoyed it a lot. We have to watch the second one.
Yeah, we
still
did.
Haven't watched the second one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Mel Gibson is so. Fury Road does not star Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
It stars
this other
Tom
guy,
Hardy.
Tom Hardy. Yeah.
Who, amusingly enough, we just watched recently
in a
movie called Venom.
Yep.
He's
fun both.
He's fun in both. He's good in both. He's not funny in...
No, he's not funny in Fury Road at all.
In Fury Road at all.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
so,
no, he's not funny.
So, yeah, none of
I mean,
his...
there's that one line that's been memed, which
okay.
is kind of funny
that's a trap.
After the meme.
Right.
That's bait.
That's bait. It's not funny in context.
It's not
he's
funny
dead
in context.
Serious.
Right. It, but, like, seeing the meme on screen is
right,
funny.
Right, right. That's kind of why I wanted to watch it, because there are a lot of memes from Fury Road, mm-hmm. including the guy who's playing it, who's like strapped to the front of a giant big rig playing this like electric guitar that's
flames.
Also a flamethrower, you know. I wanted to,
it's totally
this
nuts.
Is like this giant amplifier is like, I wanted to see the movie that came from.
What's going on in that scene? Oh,
it's,
not much.
It's every bit as funny, well, as impressive and ridiculous as...
Ridiculous, yes.
Yeah.
As it seems like it is. One criticism of Fury Road.
Okay.
As much as I enjoy it, one criticism. There are several disabled characters played by able-bodied actors.
That bothers me. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are disabled actors who could have played those roles and done a fantastic job.
One of them is... So the lead
The lead famous lady.
Furiosa.
Yeah. I forget the famous actress's name, but she's a famous actress.
They wanted her
Charlize
Theron.
Okay, Theron.
Right. She has a hand missing.
The character does. Right.
So this was done using like a sort of a synthetic hand and some CGI to like paint out her actual forearm to make it look like it's just
a stump.
Wires and...
Well, no, she actually has a stump, and she straps on a prosthetic.
Yeah, right. So you see, I mean, the prosthetic is like these metal pieces. You can see through it.
Right.
So to make that look real, there was some CGI to paint out the whatever
her actual forearm.
Her actual arm. Right. So, but yeah, that you don't see it very often. But yeah, it's a nice detail. But I guess you could make the case they could have just.
They could have just hired a disabled actress.
But her character is so intense in this film. There aren't that many people who are film actors and actresses who can play at that level of...
Well, maybe if we hired them, there would be.
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I really don't buy that argument.
All right.
I don't buy that argument, full stop. Because if you never cast them,
right,
they never will be.
Okay,
there was no reason not to cast a really strong disabled actress that has an arm missing.
I suppose, except that it would have been an unknown, and they're investing, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in a.
But they changed Mad Max out in this film.
They did because
Mel
Gibson is canceled. Jesus Christ,
he's a total freaking liability.
We're gonna get the mail here.
Oh yeah,
he is. Persona non grata in
and should be
in Hollywood for good reason. He's had a lot of second chances, a lot of,
and he keeps shitting on him.
And
Jesus.
He's just like
he's not well. You know, and I want him to get the care that he needs. I'm not saying he shouldn't receive care, but my God.
Sure, but better go back on the other side. I'm gonna confuse everyone again.
Oh, sorry about that. I keep forgetting where I am, what I'm doing.
Okay.
So, yeah, Mel Gibson's canceled. They swapped him out. But so, and I don't know, you know what, I can't remember this actress's name. I don't know how famous she was before it versus after it versus what.
Charlize Theron was a big draw.
She was a big draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
Well, you know, it's possible. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And actually, disability.
Thomas Hardy was not nearly as well known
when
he made this. Not Thomas Hardy. Not the. Tess of the D'Urbervilles notwithstanding, Thomas Hardy was not as well known. Tom Hardy.
Was not as well known
when he did this film. He had done some
I still don't
work.
Know his name. I recognize his face, kind of.
Right.
So I don't know about that, but I think, here's the other thing. Disability was actually a significant...
Part of the film.
Significant something of the film.
It was.
So maybe you hire one big name that plays the non-disabled characters.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you hire really skilled disabled. Yeah, I'm not talking about hiring people who are disabled because they're disabled.
Right.
I'm talking about hiring skilled people to do the job.
Right. If the story involves disability, which it does.
Hire a disabled person to do it.
Yeah. So we're just about done here, but
yeah.
The portrayal of Furiosa...
It's very good.
It's one of the most in-your-face, aggressively feminist portrayals of a lead character I've ever seen in film.
Not quite Alien, but close.
It almost... Yeah, she's just...
Just shy.
No shit from anybody.
Yeah, nope, that's
absolutely
what I'm doing.
Hard-ass woman. Uh-huh. And it did remind me of Ripley in Alien, yes. Right? Yes. The first Alien film. Yeah. And so that was a beautiful thing. I really admired that.
Admired and appreciated it.
Yeah. So anyway, we are. I'm so glad we got a walk in.
Me too.
There's not much daylight left. We're counting down the days. I'm so stressed because I'm going back into a pressure cooker work situation at the office. So many late projects, a lot of pressure on me to finish things up.
Fast, fast, fast.
And an awful lot of it is actually things that I can't control. I'm waiting on other people to finish.
Control, manage.
Especially outside the company, vendors and whatnot. But I'm the one in the hot seat here. So I'm just trying to make it through the end of the year, which is where that box of wine is going to come in.
Yes, so, as we come full circle.
Yeah, okay. All right,
thanks
everyone.
For listening.
Yeah, I was going to, next time I want to talk about billionaires.
Yeah.
But
we don't need any.
Yeah. Okay, take care all.
Yeah, stay safe.
Bye-bye.